KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
This fall, public universities in Oregon faced a potential strike from more than 4,000 classified staff. The Service Employees International Union, or SEIU, represents workers in various departments, including food service, technology, financial aid, and office assistance. The complaints were centered on low wages and a lack of dignity at work. And as of September 28th, the union reached an agreement with the public universities for a two-year labor contract, narrowly avoiding a strike. This month, union members will be voting on the contract. We are joined today by two members of the SEIU, Rob Fulmer, a PSU employee and bargaining team chair, and Steve Demarest, the president of the SEIU Local 503. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure to be here.
So let's start and go back to the beginning of this story. There are some listeners who may not know or have followed all of the negotiations. So could you explain what the SEIU is? What positions does it cover at public universities?
Sure. SEIU is a labor union. It represents 72,000 workers in the state of Oregon. And what all these workers have in common is that their jobs are funded by public dollars. And so that means a lot of the people we represent are public employees. And that includes the classified workers at the state universities and who work on those campuses. And you identified a lot of classified workers in your intro, but these are we don't represent faculty, we don't represent student workers, and of course we don't represent managers or people in the administration. But almost everyone else that makes the university work and makes it run, we represent them.
Interesting. So what are some of the reasons that brought on the need for contract renegotiations?
So we usually have a two-year or sometimes a four-year contract, which expires June 30th. So before the contract expiration, usually 6 months or so before that, we begin negotiations with the universities to try and get a new contract in place. This process inevitably does not wrap up before our old contract expires, so it's not uncommon for us to bargain well into the summer.
Can you talk about how did negotiations play out? Did they go well? Is there anything that still needs to be resolved?
Negotiations were extremely difficult this time. I was a bargaining delegate for Portland State in the 2013 contract. And with that contract, we actually came about the same distance from striking. But it felt like the two sides were much closer together than they were this time. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because even though the universities knew that they had been allocated an additional $100 million by the legislature for their university operations, they opened their economic offers to us with significant takeaways, including tripling the cost of healthcare for most of our members and actually increasing the cost by five times for people who had the lowest cost healthcare plan. So that set the table for negotiations. It was extremely adversarial, and we felt at times that we were having a very hard time making forward progress with negotiations. So again, we came within, as you mentioned at the beginning, within 48 hours of a strike. These are the circumstances under which this contract was bargained. It was very tough.
Can you talk about what the core successes were of the negotiations?
Absolutely. So what we have been trying to establish in this contract that we haven't had for kind of a while, a decade really, is cost of living adjustments that track with inflation. So over the last decade, our members had seen aggregate cost of living adjustments of 13% while inflation had gone up 22%, which means that people were losing buying power more and more over time. And we insisted with this contract that we were not going to lose more buying power for our members. We did a market study. We know that our members make about 90% of what other public sector workers with comparable benefits make. And we weren't willing to let that get any worse. We were, in fact, trying to improve it. And that's what we were ultimately able to do. But it was an extremely, as I mentioned, extremely challenging negotiation. We had to prepare to strike on all the campuses and show the universities that we would be unwilling to take another bad contract.
And to be clear, this was for all Oregon universities.
All Oregon public universities. So there are seven public universities in Oregon. There's Southern Oregon, OIT, Western, Eastern, Portland State, University of Oregon, and Oregon State University. So among all those universities, we have actually about 4,800 represented workers.
So could you explain to us what is the current state of the contract now as of today? How does it stand?
Well, the bargaining teams for the union and for the universities reached a tentative agreement, but the ultimate deciders on whether or not the proposed contract will be agreed to is our members. And so we're in the process of doing a ratification vote right now. We're using trying to keep up with the times. We're using both online voting and more traditional paper voting. That'll be wrapped up by the end of the month, and we'll know then how our members have voted. We anticipate a yes vote, and good news for our members is that that will enable the universities to, on the next monthly paycheck, to pay the first COLA that Rob mentioned. The agreement is that's retroactive to July 1st. So.
And for the listeners, could you explain what COLA stands for?
Yeah. Cost of living adjustment.
Thank you.
Right. That's that attempt that Rob talked about to keep up with inflation and keep buying power.
Right. So could you explain, when you're looking at a potential strike, how do you choose how to balance some of the most urgent needs from all of your members and put that into the process for them to vote on, to get them to vote onto the new contract?
So we identify early on in the contract negotiation period what our members are prioritizing by asking them. We do a survey in the fall before negotiations start. And what our members prioritize is what we work the hardest to achieve at the table. And that was making sure that we held the line on healthcare, which we ultimately did, making sure that they got cost of living adjustments that were at least at the level of inflation and hopefully better. And we were able to do that too. But those are the things that the kitchen table issues that our workers are most motivated to strike over if a strike is necessary. If we can get that stuff done for them, then they're happy with the outcome.
What are some things that members are saying now? Are they feeling happy about the outcome or still feeling that there's issues that need to still be resolved?
I think one of the biggest issues for us that remains unresolved is the issue of respect. Our workers do feel like a lot of times they're treated as second-class citizens on the campuses by the administration. We have strong alliances with our faculty and graduate students, and we feel like, for the most part, we're very well treated by them. But we don't always feel like we're valued. And one of the ways that that's manifested is in the way that the university has traditionally treated us when the university has to be universities have to be closed due to inclement weather or hazardous conditions. Other people on the campus are paid and we have not been. But in this contract, we were able to get 48 hours of paid time over the two-year period. And that's guaranteed across all the campuses for all of our represented workers. Our workers are really, really happy about this contract. You can't sort of, in a contract, get all of the respect that our workers feel like they deserve and have earned, but you can get the language in there that makes us be treated more like equals. And I think that is something that they recognize that the bargaining team was able to get for them with their standing up strongly for their rights. And that's why when I talk to members about the contract, they're very pleased. It's the best contract economically that we've gotten in over a decade, and for longtime workers and newer workers, it's something that they really appreciate.
So there are a lot of other workers nationwide, of course, trying to organize and learn from strong unions like yourself. Do you have any tips for people that are trying to reach out to their workplace and make changes?
Yes. For all those people out there trying to do this organizing work, be aware that you have allies and draw on those allies. It's not all on you. It's not all on you and your coworkers. You're not restricted to your workplace and your dealings with management. There are workers that are already organized, such as the members of SEIU 503, and they will support you and they will help you. There are community organizations that believe in organized labor and the power of labor to raise up people. Look for them for assistance, and don't be afraid to call out politicians either and make them take a stand on your behalf. But I would say the first place to start is with workers that are already organized in their unions.
That's some good advice. So one last thing, could you tell us one other thing that the public may not understand about negotiations like this when you go to re-bargain a new contract?
Well, this is more specific to the universities, but I think what we didn't understand going into this, and I think this is one of the things that made the negotiations so difficult, the seven universities have been pulled in different directions by having their own governing boards, and that has to do with changes that were made at the state level. And having to negotiate one contract with us was extremely difficult for them because it's like negotiating with seven different entities when they have to come up with one contract, and that was super hard. But what we learned was that their priority was to avoid future costs. They were willing to give us money now in the contract that we negotiated with them this time, but they were very concerned about making sure that their long-term costs wouldn't go up as a result of this contract to the extent that they were able to do that. And I think that has to do with the overall uncertainty about how higher ed is funded in the state of Oregon. And I think that's an ongoing issue, and it's one that's going to have to be addressed, or every future negotiation until it is addressed is going to be just as tough as this one was.
Thank you very much for speaking with us, both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, very much. Thank you.
We have been speaking with Rob Fulmer, PSU employee and SEIU bargaining team chair, and Steve Demarest, the president of SEIU 503. Rob, Steve, thank you for speaking with us this evening. I'm Clara Shotto.
And I'm Leslie McLam. Enjoy your evening.